at townhall.com.
Plenty of sunshine on tap for us today and a high of 83. Only a 1 in 10 chance of rain, if that. And tonight will be clear with a low of 65. Right now, it is 63 at WBOB. There's been a pretty bad crash on the west side, 295 north at Normandy Boulevard. The left and right emergency lanes have cars. It looks like emergency responders, road rangers, police, and a wrecker have arrived. It's going to be slow going through that area. And then if you're at Butler Boulevard at San Pablo, we're seeing backup. Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Republicans didn't win them all, but they still did well at the city council elections yesterday. Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limit bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate. And the FBI tells Governor Ron DeSantis that the Russians did hack two Florida counties in 2016.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Yeah. Where it's obvious that...
Yeah, I wanted to get to this clip here because it's kind of interesting. By the way, thanks for tuning in. 3 minutes after the top of the hour, Ed Dean. As you know, I find this is a fascinating issue besides the issue of guns. Alabama, big national news this morning, passes what they call a near-total ban when it comes to the issue of abortion out there.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth. She has physical signs that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make. I understand that. I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
That is the Virginia Democrat Representative Kathy Tran. Remember, Ralph Northam allowed abortion right up to birth. 831-0600. So as of this past week, Alabama passes what they call a near total ban on abortion. I want to get to the calls because some people want to talk about the issue of guns. Roger made an interesting point also about, okay, hey, 18 to 21 to buy guns here in Florida when it comes to rifles. Big deal. How many 18-year-olds are buying guns? That's an interesting question. So I want to hear your take on that. Before I start with Bill here in just a brief moment, can I ask you a question? We talk about a woman's right to choose. That's from the left. From the right, valid discussion about whether or not taxpayer dollars should go fund Planned Parenthood. Can I ask a question? Why are we? I want to hear what your take is at 831-0600, 831-0600. If we're now getting to the issue of states wanting to have total near bans on abortion, what is the conversation that the left never wants to discuss? And what is the conversation that maybe some of the conservatives are not bringing up on the issue of abortion? Oh, I have my answer, but I'd like to hear what you think. 831-0600. 831-0600. Roger, what do you think it is?
You know what? I've been pondering that, and I'm wondering whether or not society and those who are pro-life, are they dwindling in numbers? Because it seems as if, you know, many people, when they go to the polls and vote, they don't really, it seems, I'm worried that they don't care about that anymore. Meanwhile, however, we are seeing the abortion rate decline because people are making individual choices not to have them.
That's, and by the way, that was happening under Obama as well.
Yeah,
so my question to you, before I get to the calls, right now, 831-0600, 904-831-0600. If many of these states like Alabama, as of this morning, are passing near total bans on abortion, what is the argument that the left never wants to discuss on the issue of abortion? And are there areas where those on the social conservative side that are pushing for legislative process to have more restrictions, are they missing out on anything? What are they not properly discussing as far if they're not? So I understand, what is the discussion that's not taking place? I kind of have my answer, but I'd like to hear what you think. 831-0600, 831-0600. Let's go to Bill. Hey, Bill, thanks for waiting. How are you this morning?
Hey, Bill. Hey,
Ed. Yeah, Roger.
Right.
Nobody can get us correct anyway.
Exactly. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing well this morning. What do you think?
Great.
Well, on the weapons deal,
yeah,
an 18-year-old is a voting citizen. And if you raise it to 21, you need to raise the voting criteria to 21 also.
Okay, but go to Rogers. Roger has an interesting question. I don't know what the numbers are, but you know, for argument's sake, hey, Bill, here in Florida, passed by the Republicans with the former Governor Rick Scott, we increased the age of 18, not to 19, not to 20, but 18 to 21 to buy a rifle here in the state of Florida. Is there really that big of a difference? Because how many sales are really taking place at 18? When you hear that conversation, Bill, how would you respond?
I'll respond this way. 18-year-old is a voting citizen. You can't do it.
So you're saying that the argument, so the argument is moot, M-U-T-E, whether or not there's that many guns being sold to 18-year-olds, they should have the right to do it since they have the right to vote at 18.
Right. If you got the right to vote at 18, you should have the right to vote a weapon.
All right. And a lot of people may agree with you, Bill.
Now, one other thing.
Yeah.
Going to the abortion thing, I would like to put my comment out there. I was adopted, so I'm the wrong person to talk to about it.
Okay, I get what you're saying. We should be promoting more adoptions out there. 831-0600. My question to you is, on this abortion debate, and we don't really have a lot of discussion on this show when it comes to abortions, but where I think I have the answer, but nobody cares about my opinion. I'd like to hear from you at 831-0600, 831-0600. What do you believe is the main issue the left never wants to discuss on the issue of abortion? And for those on the conservative aisle, where do you think that they may not be strong enough on the issue of talking about the sanctity of life? Just kind of curious about that. Let's go to Susan. Hey, Susan, good morning. You're on WBOB. How are you?
I'm good. How are you
good
today?
Thanks for calling in this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm not sure if it's something that nobody's talking about abortion, but what about chastity and prevention? I mean, we don't have any morals in that area. We need to educate our young children that they need to take care of themselves and don't get in that predicament.
Okay, well, we're not talking about underage teen pregnancy. Then how would you answer about married couples that don't promote chat, which they shouldn't as they're married, if they want to get an abortion? How do you answer that then?
I don't know why someone would want to get an abortion if they're pregnant. I mean, if they're married, I'm sure there are cases, but... I don't know about that, unless there's a problem with the child.
But I think some people would agree with you. We've gotten schools now we want to teach sex education at fourth grade and talk about LGBT isms that way. We don't talk about enough of waiting around, but I wonder if some people are. Hey, Susan, I'm glad you called in this morning. So that's one of the other questions out there. She brings a valid point. I think there's a lot of issues out there. But on this, and I want to get back to the issue of guns. A lot of people are weighing in this morning on this issue as well. Ed at WBOB.com. But back to the abortion argument real quick. Alabama now passes a near total ban on abortions. We see it in Mississippi. We've seen it in other states as well. My question to you, and we don't talk a lot about this issue on the radio show, just because there's a lot of other issues out there. If you're going to talk about the issue of abortions, what is the – I believe I had the answer, but I'd rather hear from you at 831-0600, 904-831-0600. What is the issue not being talked about enough on the conservative aisle when it comes to abortion? But also on the issue on the left, what is an issue that they totally seems to never discuss – on the issue of abortion?
Well, there's probably a temptation about, maybe discussing more abstinence, as Susan just pointed out. Interestingly, however, actress Alyssa Milano, I believe her name is, she really had a problem with the recent Georgia law that required the heartbeat to be detected.
Yeah,
her name is
who?
Alyssa Milano.
That's exactly right. Her name is who?
But she's calling for a sex strike. Interestingly, someone on the left is actually promoting abstinence without even realizing it. And maybe it'll take off and maybe there'll be fewer abortions as a result.
831-0600. 831-0600. This is one of the clips you also played earlier. The Parkland shooting that took place last February in 2018. Where now the students believe, and by the way, you can thank the Republicans, not the Democrats, CNN's Allison Camarado says now they've got full force to try to get a petition on for the state constitutional measure here in Florida and to take it further even to the federal government by promoting this.
They really want, as you heard them say, federal legislation. They did something remarkable. They got Florida, where, you know, people feel strongly about their guns, to change the legislation in the wake of what happened in Parkland. Now they want it on a national scale. So,
and by the way, this is not the Democrats. This is the Republicans that push for the gun control to be raised from ages 18 to 21. So now they think they want to pass it federally out there. My question to you on this issue at 831-0600, 831-0600, Roger asked a very interesting question. Hey, and without putting words in your mouth, let me add to it.
Right.
Some of the emails I'm getting this morning, I agree with Roger. Now, I don't know what part of they are, and that doesn't really matter, but hey, how many kids really in Florida, how many 18-year-olds are really buying rifles at age 18? What's the big deal if you raise it to 21? Now, let's take away the constitutional right argument. No. Let's move that to the side. Does Roger have a point? Is it really going to hurt the industry? Is it really bad if we raise the age 18 to 21? Because why? Now, if there are a lot of people buying guns at age 18, 19, and 20, there might be a commerce argument because, hey, we're losing sales there, Raj. But does Roger have a point? What is, I mean, how many people are really buying rifles here in Florida at age 18? 831-0600. Maureen, good morning. How are you?
Hi. I'm a very proud card-carrying NRA member, and I completely support raising it to 21. 18-year-olds are idiots. I know this. I raised three of them. I taught at the university level for years. They're idiots. Don't let them have a gun.
Don't have a gun. Yeah, you'd also keep enforcement of the drinking age at 21, correct?
100%.
All right. Hey, Maureen, what do you think about arming teachers as a last resort in the schools? We had a lot of calls last week, NRA members saying, you know, listen, I love my guns. I want to protect my kids. But I even see some of these teachers, I don't think it'd be proper for them to be carrying weapons as a last resort to protect our kids. What do you think about that?
I don't have a problem with the teachers carrying guns. However, these thugs that you have in high school now, I can see a teacher being fearful for their life.
Interesting. Interesting.
That's my problem.
An interesting diversity. Maureen, thanks for your input. I appreciate it this morning.
All right. Take care, bye.
All right. 831-0600. I'm a member of the NRA, and I don't want 18-year-olds to be able to buy rifles
because
and guns.
They're idiots. And she's raised some herself.
Well, I'm not calling her. Immaturity level.
There is a maturity level, you know, and you wonder that, you know, whether or not someone who's 18, 19, or 20, do they have, you know, I understand the constitutional right argument and they can join the military, but that's under a very discipline-oriented environment as opposed to being able to get their own. And another thing, too, Ed, you know, if you're 19 years old and you want to get a gun bad enough legally, all you have to do is get one of your older friends or your dad or your uncle to buy it for you and give it to you as a gift.
By the way, can I ask a question? Maureen said something interesting here. She basically, I guess what she's talking about, maturity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if young people are not, you're going to love this question. I'm going to get beat up by my gun supporters, but it's just a question to start up a conversation. If the maturity level is not wise for people to be drinking at 18, instead they should be at 21, should not the same maturity argument be used for those that want to buy guns? Don't tell me that there's nothing in the Constitution that says there's an age requirement to buy a gun. That is left to the states.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use that argument, folks.
To buy a gun at 10, according to the Constitution.
Well, yeah, actually, the Constitution's quiet on that.
Right.
So if it's quiet, it's left to the states. My question to you is, Maureen says, hey, I'm an NRA supporter, and I have no problem with teachers being armed as a last resort. Okay, so she's probably consistent there. But she says, I don't think they should be able to buy a gun based because there's a lot of idiots out there. If the argument is made that there's a maturity level that should be kept at drinking age of 21, then is that could be as a valid excuse to buy a rifle here in Florida? Increase it from 18 to 21. Is that argument valid? What is your take? I'd like to hear you. What's your reaction to that? 831-0600, 904-831-0600, Talk Radio WBOB.
On the West Beltway, 295 north of Normandy, lots of backup there. There's been a crash, and the cars involved are in the left and right emergency lanes. We see at least two wreckers and road rangers on the scene right now as we look at traffic cams. 95 near the airport, broken down car there is causing some moderate backup, and if you're on I-10, you'll begin to see backup at Cassett down to US 17.
Are you frustrated with your office coffee service, your vending machines, micromarkets, or water coolers? Hi, I'm Townsend Russell, owner of Florida Best Vending, Micromarkets, and Office Coffee Service. If you are frustrated with your vending machines or micromarket, if you are unhappy with your office coffee service, if you do not like your water coolers, then let us show you how we can take what is causing you frustration and turn it into something that brings you joy. Florida Best Vending, Micromarkets, and Office Coffee Services. Family owned, professional, high integrity, and simply the best. FloridaBestVending.com. That's FloridaBestVending.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You may have heard about diamonds certified by EGL, GIA, AGS, IGI, and wondered what that meant. It's confusing because those letters represent various diamond grading laboratories. However, it's important to point out that labs don't certify anything. What they do is issue diamond grading reports. Any certifying going on is done by the retailer. That's why at Underwoods, we have and maintain an accredited gem laboratory of the American Gem Society, so we can check these reports to see if the diamond report matches the American Gem Society diamond grading standard that we've been using for over 50 years. As a certified gemologist, I've seen thousands of different laboratory reports from labs like IGI and EGL, and sometimes they'll miss the grade by as many as 5 grades. So we only use the accurate, credible labs of AGS, GIA, and Forevermark. But Underwoods is who's doing the certifying.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Are you tired of pre-recorded financial shows that try to scare you into buying annuities and life insurance products? I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. Together we host the Van Wee Financial Hour, live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Van Wee Financial is a fee-only financial planning and asset management company here on Florida's First Coast.
We bring you current financial information and analysis without the scare tactics.
Most of all, we answer your financial and investing questions live on the air.
Tune into the Van Wee Financial Hour and call us every Saturday morning at 10 right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
Plenty of sunshine expected today and a 1 in 10 chance of rain. The high, 83. This evening will be clear with a low of 65. Right now, 63 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limit bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate. Democrats say there's no middle ground when tackling climate change. And Gallup analyst finds that President Trump has the steadiest approval rating of any president in history.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And now, a majority of registered Democrats say they'd compromise their own beliefs to beat President Trump. 56% polled by Monmouth say they'd support a primary candidate they disagree with on the issues as long as the candidate is the strongest against the president. Right now, the biggest policy issue is health care, and the proposal pushed by progressive hopefuls is Medicare for all. More moderate Democrats are waiting to see if ideas like that catch on.
And who is that more moderate Democrat? Well, you thought, well, I thought it was the new, well, the governor of Montana and maybe a couple of others in the and the Democratic Party. But now I'm told that the new moderate's Joe Biden out
there. Yeah, Joe Biden's a moderate now, and so is Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
Scary times right now.
That's
going
pretty
on
sad.
In the Democratic Party. Absolutely.
So, again, according to Peter Doocy from Fox News, a majority of progressives out there, well, Democrats, I should say. I mean, is there really a difference? In some cases, there is, folks, believe it or not. Not all Republicans are conservative, okay? But the bottom line is they would, yes, the majority said they'll compromise their beliefs in order to beat Trump in 2020, but that doesn't sit well with AOC. She says there is no room for moderates when it comes to the issue of climate change, and we don't need to go back to those days.
I am not here to tell you that all Democrats are good and all Republicans are bad, and that if you simply elect someone with a D next to their name, that our problems will be solved. I've been told from people on both sides of the aisle that we need to frack more, and that we need to build more pipelines, both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, what else?
The same politicians who refused to act then are going to try to come back today and say we need a middle of the road approach to save our lives. That is too much for me.
And guess what? The crowd likes it out there. And by the way, could you not say the same thing for conservatives out there? They don't like middle of the roaders as well.
She can probably sit there and say this all she wants, but when she goes into the poll just after her 29th birthday next year, and Joe Biden is the Democrat and Donald Trump's the Republican, she's not voting
for Trump. I was thinking about that this morning. If Joe Biden becomes the nominee, and depending on how he campaigns, he's called a moderate. Now, some of his past views, he was a moderate. He did support Clarence Thomas and things in other areas of that nature. But today, he's now considered a moderate. I wonder if AOC, if she's invited, will she give a pro-Joe Biden speech at the DNC convention after calling him a moderate and saying we don't need to go back in time?
She's probably the most maverick of any maverick in Congress ever. I do believe if they give her the podium, she's probably going to bash him because she simply doesn't have that level of maturity yet, I don't believe. But I don't believe she's going to vote for Trump.
Did the Russians hack the elections here in Florida? According to the FBI, they told Governor Ron DeSantis, yeah, they hacked two Florida counties. Oh, but for some of you on the left, it was prior to the 2016 elections. There was no manipulation of voting results. DeSantis was briefed on what called an intrusion into the two unidentified counties. Can you imagine those two counties, Rose Palm Beach, Susan Butcher, and Brenda Snipes?
I think that's very plausible.
Down in Broward?
I think it's not only plausible, but likely that they were Broward County and West Palm Beach.
Oh, Roger, you give them too much protection out there. According to the report by News4Jax Kent Justice, that guess what? They were hacked, but there were no election results that were overturned.
Now there's confirmation that at least two Florida counties were hacked during the election of 2016.
Senator Bill Nelson claimed it last summer during his campaign for re-election. He said Florida had been hacked during the 2016 election cycle. Governor Rick Scott said, essentially, prove it. Well, now there's proof revealed with a single sentence in the Mueller report. It says the FBI suspected Russian military intelligence hackers were able to gain access to the network of at least one Florida county government through a spear phishing campaign.
Hey, can I ask a quick question? If Lisa King and Sonny, I don't remember Sonny's last name, the Democrats that lost last night, congratulations to Freeman. He pulled a stunning victory. And then, of course, my gal, Randy DeFore. Why not blame the Russians? You guys should have won those elections last night, some people were saying.
Vladimir Putin's fault.
You've got a valid, if you can't blame it on the rain, Millie Vanilli, blame it on Mike Hogan. You can certainly blame it on the Russians. Could they not?
They're very important.
Here's more of the clip.
Two Florida counties experienced intrusion into the supervisor of election networks. There was no manipulation or anything.
Governor Ron DeSantis met with the FBI in Tallahassee and announced that two counties were hacked. However, he won't reveal which counties, and he says the hack didn't change any results.
Not allowed to name the counties. I signed a disclosure agreement. I think they think that if we name the counties, then that may reveal information to the perpetrators that we know kind of what they did.
Says both counties were notified about the hack prior to the 2016 election and worked with the FBI to eliminate the threat. DeSantis also says the FBI praised Florida for being ahead of other states in terms of cybersecurity.
Yes, and so, I mean, they didn't overturn it. By the way, why didn't they overturn any votes? If the Russians really had such an influence, how come they weren't smart enough to overturn any votes?
You know, my biggest suspicion, two words, dry run. Maybe they were trying to see how easy it would be to get into our system, just to take a look around, and then maybe plan on something a little bit more devastating 4 years later, where they can maybe get into more counties and maybe make some changes in how people actually voted.
Coming up next, some big events taking place this week. I want to give you an invite. Hang out with me. I'm actually giving away some free tickets that are worth money. Money? Cardi B. Anyway, so I got some tickets to give away. Barney Bishop's coming into town. I want to invite you to just maybe a little gathering. I'm at no cost to you. I'm taking care of everything because I'm on Roger's dime right now. 26 minutes after the hour, talk radio, WBOB.
295 North on the West Beltway at Normandy Boulevard. There's been a crash. We're counting at least three cars involved and the wreckage, both in the right and left emergency lanes. Lots of backup we see on the traffic cams. And if you're coming toward downtown at I-10, you'll start to hit the brakes around Cassett Avenue.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Have you noticed how some young athletes' parents lose control if their child performs badly or if the official makes a questionable call? How should Christians view competition? Doing our best and enjoying the rewards is absolutely okay. But if we gloat over another's defeat or refuse to accept losing graciously, then we've lost sight of the goal of living like Christ. The Apostle Paul said the only true race in life is winning eternal life, and that we should run that race to win through faith in Christ. All other competitions really don't count for much when compared to that one. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's prize of eternal life on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, May 18th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the Military and Veterans Expo at TIAA Bank Field. And Saturday, May 18th at 7 p.m., it's the Jacksonville Sharks versus the Orlando Predators at ViStar Veterans Arena.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Lots of sunshine today. Our high will be 83 this evening, clear, a low of 65. Right now it's 63 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600, and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Why are people asking me to find out where the leaks are at that Ron DeSantis signed an FBI disclosure says he can't release them to two counties? Well, you're a journalist. Well, okay, if you throw me a couple of, you know, Fazoli, throw me a couple of, you know, C notes, I might be able to find out who they are.
What about Freedom of Information Act?
No, if it's a non-disclosure agreement. Okay. So anyway, 831-0600. What do you guys think about? Are you willing to pay more if there are less Chinese goods or more for the president to deal with the Chinese when it comes to tariffs? Are you willing to pay more? That discussion coming up next. Talk radio, WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The fate of a bill that bans virtually all abortions in Alabama is now in the hands of Governor Kay Ivey, the state Senate giving final legislative approval to the Human Life Protection Act. The measure is aimed at forcing the nation's highest court to reconsider the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Amid rising tensions with Iran, the State Department is ordering all non-essential personnel to leave the U.S. Embassy in Iraq. The ongoing trade dispute with China making some American farmers very uncomfortable, this despite President Trump's attempts to address their concerns. Donald Trump Jr. due back before the Senate Intelligence Committee next month. He's agreed to a closed-door interview with members of the panel. On Wall Street, Dow futures down 56 points, S&P futures off 6, NASDAQ futures 11 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. On the West Beltway, I-295 North at Normandy Boulevard, there's been an accident. We're counting three cars at least, and the wreckage is now in both the left and right emergency lanes. We're seeing lots of backup by cars going through that area on the traffic cams this morning. On I-10 going east toward downtown, you're hitting the brakes beginning at Cassin. Lots of sunshine today. The high will be 83. This evening, clear with a low of 65. Right now, it is 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The FBI tells Governor Ron DeSantis that Russians did hack two Florida counties in 2016. Republicans didn't win them all, but still did well at the city council elections yesterday. And Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limit bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Before I get to my good friend Steve Beam and a couple events this week, this Friday, it's going to be me, Kevin Derby, the editor at FloridaJaily.com, Barney Bishop, is going to be actually hosting the morning show with us on Friday Live. I'll get to that in a moment. Also, Ken Justice, our good friend. I don't know how they got Ken on this thing. But anyway, Ken Justice, our good friend at News 4 Jax, the lead anchor there. We're all four going to be on a big panel coming up this Friday at the University of North Florida University Center. Coming up this Friday, I think the time frame maybe around lunchtime. It's going to be, folks, if I'm going to be there, believe me, it's going to be entertaining. Big panel forum. If you'll email me, ed@wbob.com, I'd like to give you a little bit of an invite. Also, coming up this Friday, Barney Bishop, one of the most popular columnists here in Florida. He's on with me every week. The former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, very conservative Democrat. He's going to be on hosting the show with us live with me and Roger this Friday morning after Friday morning's radio show. I may be having just a small coffee here, maybe downstairs. I may take some people to Starbucks, get some donuts. I'd like to meet you. If you want to meet Barney, kind of hang out for a few minutes, whatever, I want to hang out for a little bit, email me, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com, and hang out with me and Barney and for a few minutes on Friday or after Friday's show, and Barney would love to meet you. So let's get to it. Here on our Newsmaker line, one of the best economics and financial radio talk show hosts. He is the CEO of the McGrawCouncil.com, our good friend, Steve Beamon. So let me start with this clip right here, Steve. This is from one of the hosts of Outnumbered Overtime. She's also a reporter from the Fox Business News Network, Melissa Francis. Listen what she said about how that U.S. individuals wanted cheap goods, companies wanted cheap goods from China, and pretty ignored their areas when it came to breaking the law. Clip number 8.
4 years, I mean, I think this is the argument that he's making. We have taken cheap goods happily and looked the other way in exchange for them stealing our intellectual property. And we've sort of made that trade. And now that we're saying you can't steal our IP and you can't demand, you know, ownership of the businesses and all the other things that frankly we've covered for years that have made it tough and expensive to do business with the Chinese, now he's saying we're going to stop that. And it's painful, like any time you stop doing something that was easy but not good for you.
Now, Steve, I don't know where to start. First off, a rough week for the market, and also some of it may a little bit come back with the tariffs. First off, I want to get to the cheap goods here in a moment. How serious is this tariffs? Do you think people are willing to pay more?
I don't think people are going to see very much of a change, to be honest with you, Ed. I think the net result of these tariffs will be a very slight increase in a few of the products we have. Yes, this is going to hurt some of the farmers, the soybean guys. They're going to have to find other markets for their products. But the reality is this is going to be crippling to the Chinese economy. And the Chinese likely, if the Congress doesn't continue to berate this president, the Chinese will give and will get more intellectual property protection as well as more open markets. But let's not forget, tariffs aren't always bad. The second law passed by the United States Congress, signed by George Washington, were tariffs designed to protect American manufacturing. I mean, these aren't always bad, and we have had unfair trade with the Chinese communists for 40 years.
Well,
and I think it's time we change that.
Not to interrupt you, maybe does an amount on the price tag of the tariffs. Remember Smoot-Hawley? That was one of the worst in 1929.
Well, I would have a little different take on that. I think if we go to the cause of the depression, it's a Federal Reserve caused depression. Clearly, I think Smoot-Hawley wasn't the cause of it. I think that gets a lot of press, but I would disagree. Had the Federal Reserve not created those false liquidity in the 1920s that it did and created the incredible leverage that it created, we wouldn't have had the Depression to begin with.
Now, hold on. I'm a student of history like you, Al, and you and I are dear friends. I didn't say that Smoot-Hawley caused the Great Depression. We had a big recession from Smoot-Hawley, 1932, also big tax increases from Herbert Hoover. But, I mean, Smoot-Hawley, where we lost 64% of exports, what I'm saying is it didn't cause the Great Depression. I'm just saying it did cause a very bad recession.
And we would have some agreement there, clearly, but I think these are different.
Right.
I think we have to accept that we have had unfair trade with China for many, many decades. This is not new, and I think it's right for the Trump administration to pull the Band-Aid off quickly here and say we're going to deal with this. People who have been involved in the American technology industries who've lost their IP to China, or manufacturers of our country who've tried to go over there and are forced to give up ownership to the Chinese, these kinds of practices have been damaging to the American business people. We need to get over those and open up those markets. And I think ultimately Trump will prevail in this, because this is much more damaging to the Chinese than it is to us.
Steve Beamon's a very well-known, not only book author, also the chairman of the McGraw Council, McGrawCouncil.com. But he's been on with us for several years, financial and economics radio talk show host. If a lot of goods are coming from China, I mean, look at a lot of the things from Walmart. What makes you say that we're not going to really feel a pinch if they raise tariffs, which means you would think consumers are going to have to pay more money?
Well, it's not all the goods, we have to remember, and it's not all the parts of all the goods. So you have a small component of, you know, some of the goods that are going to be increased. But I think net-net, we're looking at a few percentage points increase. And in order to open up that Chinese market and get the Chinese communists to give a little more access to us, we need to do it. In addition, there are other producers around the world who will pick up the slack at the reduced prices. This is a boom for the people in South Asia. It's a boom for people in the developing world who want to start to put products into the United States. We have to remember there is a global economy now, and China's not the only source for a lot of these goods. Yes, an iPhone might go up by $10, but, you know, there are an awful lot of people who, on the left at least, don't like China, you know, and condemn the Trump administration for this, who ought to be looking and saying maybe that's a good thing, because the Chinese are not exactly fair labor people either.
When it comes to, let's talk about Trump and the economy for a second. There's a Zogby poll that has him around 51%. Here's a clip by Democrat pollster Pia Nagarnda. She says, listen, whether you agree with them or not, this has come from the Democrats. According to the Gallup poll, listen to this clip, Trump has the most steady approval rating of any other president in history.
You know, Gallup did a analysis at the end of last year and found that President Trump actually has the most steady approval rating of any president in history. And so some people take the pessimistic view of that and say, you know, nothing he does affects him. Some people take the optimistic view and say, look, he never had a honeymoon period. He hasn't had any, you know, large bumps due to his trade policy or his tax cut or anything like that. And so no matter what, it's just going to sort of stay in that zone.
And now, he's done very well with the economy, even with young voters out there. Do you see it as he talks about it, but is it not enough being promoted? I mean, because again, we still got the left out there trying to give all the credit to former President Barack H. Obama.
Well, the left doing that is just ridiculous and wrong. But let's be honest, Trump came into this thing, they've been attacking him ever since the Mueller investigation proved to be a sham. But the economy is, you know, Tip O'Neill said it, people vote their pocketbooks, right? And all politics comes down to that. And the reality is we've got a very strong economy. Wages are rising. All segments of the economy are booming. And that's going to cause his ratings to go up. But let's be honest, 25% of the people will never support anything rational. So your perfect benchmark in a poll is going to be 75%. So you got 26% of the people that are kind of going, "Nah, we hear a lot on ABC, NBC, and CNN that we don't like." And that's just bogus news, and that's what's hitting him.
You know, we hear a lot coming from the left on the issue of Medicare for All, free college tuition, we're going to pay for reparations. And, of course, everything is to go after the Trump tax cuts. The problem with some of these measures is that if you want to do it by 10 years, and by the way, I got to ask you about that. I've never looked at a budget for 10 years. I don't know why we do it. Having said that, the Trump tax cuts only $1.5 trillion over 10 years. These guys are talking about spending $30 trillion over 10 years. years. The term capitalism has seemed to get a bloody eye and a bruised nose. How do you steer away from using the term capitalism in order to talk about free markets?
Well, I think you had just said the key. We're not talking about an ism. We're talking about free market between free people. When you and I make a free decision to purchase goods, the economy grows. When the government comes out and says they're going to give free medicine, free education, whatever, it devalues it. And this idea that the Democrats have, especially in modern monetary theory, that it's a zero-sum game, that every dollar the government spends is a dollar into the economy, isn't true, because some dollars are productive, some aren't. And that's something people shouldn't get lost on. If they try to do this Medicare for all, they try to do free college, it's just going to cause our deficits to go sky high. We ultimately will have inflation, and we'll have continued problems for future generations.
Steve Beaman from the McGraw-Council.com, McGraw-Council.com, very well-known financial economics radio talk show host. Steve, good to have you on today.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy the day, my friend.
All right. Steve Beaman here. I usually know that Roger likes to hang out with him because Roger's always asking about Bitcoin. Does Bitcoin even still exist?
Oh, yeah.
I kid with you. By the way, I was in Central Florida over the weekend, and I was having breakfast with a tax collector, very well known, beat a 28-year Republican incumbent in the Republican primary.
Okay.
So they do exist. And this tax collector was telling me that they're one of the first ones to set up to make payments with Bitcoin.
Really?
I was like, what?
Payment by Bitcoin.
It was like 8:30 in the morning. I'm like, really? We're having Kiki's breakfast. And I'm like, really? Bitcoin? Is this really going down that road out there? Oh, boy.
I got boot edge. Beto's falling fast. What? You know, Bernie's crazy. Pocahontas, I think, is probably out.
President Trump on and a lot of that, calling these individuals names. And it's just, again, one of the discussions we've been having today, of course, is the left now is saying that Joe Biden is too moderate. Okay, but forget his past. Can you tell me what he was too moderate on with the Obama administration? That's what I was thinking.
Well, think about it. If you're a VP, you're really kind of carrying water for the guy at the top.
That's true.
You know?
I would agree with that. But I mean, what is he that moderate on when it comes to that issue here?
Progressives are upset that a Biden climate change advisor told Reuters what we learned from the Obama administration is unless we find middle ground on these issues, we risk not having any policies. But Biden believes the Obama White House did plenty.
Ah, and so now the Democrats like AOC and others are not happy because there's no room to be in the middle when it comes to the issue of climate change.
It's an emergency, Ed. They got 12 years out. Yeah.
So we're going to have a lot of this discussion coming up next. I'm your host, Ed Dean, here along with Roger Henderson. 831-0600. A lot of questions. A lot of calls have been taken this morning. I'd like to ask you two big issues that are hitting the map today. The CNN's Allison Camerato, real quick, I got this clip here. CNN's Allison Camerato says that, by the way, she didn't mention it, but you can thank the Republicans for pushing for the gun control measure that took place after the Parkland shooting last year. She says now those students that, as you know, want to put a constitutional measure ballot for 2020 here in Florida to ban certain, quote, assault rifles out there. Again, federal law raising the age of 18 to 21. Roger asked a very interesting question. Does it really matter? I mean, forget about the constitutionality. By the way, there's nothing about the Constitution about what age you can buy a gun. That is left to the states to determine that. But this is what she said. Listen, because Roger says, hey, really, I mean, and another interesting question. How many 18-year-olds are really buying guns at 18?
They really want, as you heard them say, federal legislation. They did something remarkable. They got Florida, where, you know, people feel strongly about their guns, to change the legislation in the wake of what happened in Parkland. Now they want it on a national scale. So
let me ask you this. We took some calls this morning at 831-0600. People, hey, Ed, I'm a member of the NRA. I have no problem with arming teachers. Some NRA members say they do have a problem with arming teachers. But we had one caller at a couple emails here. Ed, some 18-year-olds are idiots. Why do you think we don't allow them to buy alcohol at 18 instead of have to buy alcohol at 21?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing they say should apply to buy a gun because of the maturity level from 18 to 21. Some people are agreeing that that is a valid comment. Do you agree that's a valid comment? So if 18 to 21, should they be able to buy a gun at 18 because of maturity level? Some say alcohol, 21. Some say, hey, you're able to vote at 18. Why shouldn't you be able to buy a gun? Is that a valid argument? 831-0600. Roger also asked an interesting question. I mean, come on, folks. We're raising the age to 21. Does it really matter how many people, young people, are buying guns or at age 18 or rifles at age 18? 831-0600. 831-0600. The other question as of this morning. Big national news. The state of Alabama passes what they call a near total ban on abortion. My question to you is, what argument? I have the answer, but I want to know what you, maybe I'm off somewhere. Maybe I'm not hitting the whole area. But what do you believe is the issue that the left never brings up on the issue of abortion? And by the way, if there are any flaws in the social conservative movement of the pro-lifers, what area do you think that they don't make a strong argument for? So it's offered on both sides. 831-0600. I'd like to hear your opinion, your view on these two issues and others as well at 831-904-831-0600. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
And if you're at 295 going north at Normandy Boulevard, there's been a crash, three cars involved. Rescue units as well as wreckers are now on the scene. There's lots of backup there. And if you're 295 south at Heckscher, that's just before you get to the Dames Point Bridge, there's a truck that's conked out on the side.
My name is James, and I'm in the Life Builders program at City Rescue Mission. I grew up in foster care system, and I realized I had a depression even as a kid. I thought once I was adopted, my depression would go away, but even after I was adopted, at 16, I was still struggling with depression. I stopped going to church, and my life started falling apart. I found myself homeless and needing
help. Of course, they
want
universal
shelters, but they didn't feel right for me. When I got to City Rescue Mission, I felt like it was where God wanted me to be. Since I've been in the program, I've read the Bible more than I have in my entire life. I've grown closer to God, and He has shown me a lot. I have a better perspective on life now, and I hope for a future. I've learned you can make your own family, and I feel like I have found a family here at CRM.
I'm Penny Keevitt, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
At Underwoods, we know what it takes to be one of the South's most trusted jewelers. Our reputation was made by carrying the finest quality. I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and we're proud to bring Forevermark diamonds to North Florida. Only 1% of the world's diamonds are eligible to become Forevermark. They're the world's most carefully selected diamonds that you can be proud to give and wear forever. The Forevermark icon invisibly inscribed on each diamond is proof of the Forevermark promise that each diamond is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Their exceptional beauty is unleashed by the world's finest craftsmen using skill and artistry passed down by generations. Forevermark diamonds benefit the communities from which they're sourced and are individually cared for from the mine to her finger. Underwoods is Jacksonville's authorized Forevermark jeweler, so make the right decision and come by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, these three words bring feelings of fear and anxiety. Contact J. David Tax Law, recently voted best tax attorney in Jacksonville by Folio Weekly Readers and selected as a 2019 Ultimate Tax Attorney by the Jacksonville Business Journal. When you owe the IRS or Florida sales tax and can't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. Don't wait. Call J. David Tax Law for your no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your tax problems step by step, explain your options, and how we will resolve your tax issues once and for all. See why J. David Tax Law was voted best tax attorney in Jax. Call now for a no-cost consultation. 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Lots of sunshine today. 1 in 10 chance of rain. Our high 83. This evening will be clear with a low of 65. And currently, it's 63 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Gallup analyst finds that President Trump has the steadiest approval rating of any president in history. Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limit bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate. And Democrats say there is no middle ground when tackling climate change.
contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
All right, before I get to the call, a couple quick questions. A lot of people have been emailing me this morning. We don't talk a lot about abortion on this issue because it's been talked about heavily for the last 20-plus years on talk radio. But with a lot of these states, and man, I mean, folks, when have you ever seen a year where you've got a lot of states like Virginia and New York and other northern states, you know there's a difference northern versus south, just kind of thought I'd point that out, that they're passing more liberal progressive bills to make more open, less restrictive when it comes to the issue of abortion all the way up to the ninth month. I mean, man, partial birth abortion, even the Democrats wouldn't support that with back in the 1990s. Now, you know, the Ralph Northam, hey, doesn't matter, let's do it anyway. Remember the governor of Blackface, of Virginia.
Right.
Now you've got states that are trying to push more restrictive ideas where, you know, a heartbeat, we hear a heartbeat, also a total near abortion ban is what's being proclaimed now going on in Alabama. My question to you is, and this is for both sides, I'd like to hear your view, your opinion at 831-0600 on this issue this morning, 831-0600. What is, some of you have been emailing exactly got the answer correct. Some of you have not. But what is it the main issue that the left never seems to bring up or want to discuss on the issue of abortion? And on the conservative aisle, what is the issue that conservatives are not pushing enough on the issue of abortion? 831-0600. What is your take? What, I'd like to hear your view on this. Is it parental notification, parental consent, Planned Parenthood being funded, government funding of abortions? What is the argument that's not really being talked about on, that's a good one, that's not the correct answer, Roger.
Okay.
What is that? That's a good one. What is it that
it's
the
true.
What is it that the conservative aisle never seems to talk about enough on the issue of abortion? And what is it that the left never, it always refuses to talk about? 831-0600. I have the answer, but nobody cares about my answer. I want to hear yours at 831-0600. Ralph. Hey, Ralph, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good morning.
Personally, I hate abortion, but who am I to tell a female what to do with her body? I just believe government need to stay out of our bedrooms, and I just feel it's some places government need to stay out, and that's one of them.
One of the things I find, Ralph, the people who take that position is they don't think that the baby the woman's carrying is a separate human being. Do you not believe that the baby is a human being, or do you believe it's all the woman's body and no other person's involved?
You know, I do believe it's a human being, but I also believe it's between her and her doctor and her God. And I just feel we need to stay. I mean, it's her choice. That's what I believe.
So, all right. So that other human being deserves no protection under the law, in your view? If the mother does.
Well, I guess at a certain age, I mean, I believe it's what, 6 weeks. I mean, I'm not really sure on when to say a baby is a baby. So, you know, once I get that out of the way, you know, it may change.
All right. So, Ralph, some may agree, some may disagree, but at least you have a valid view. Some would say, and we don't have to agree with it, but, you know, Ralph says, hey, listen, if there's a heartbeat, then we're open up for a discussion out there. Let's go to, is it Harold? What, Roger?
Yeah, it's Harold.
Let's go to Harold. Harold, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good morning, sir. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to answer the question on what conservatives don't talk about.
All right.
And that is, who's going to take care of the baby?
You are pretty much in a very, you're right. I mean, I think that's probably the best answer I've heard. I mean, you're right there. They don't talk about enough who's going to take care of the child. We're always promoting bringing them into this world, but what do we ever talk about at the aftermath?
Interestingly, Harold, I heard discussion, I didn't get a chance to verify it, that when they do the planning on how many prisons to plan for, it's always indexed to the out-of-wedlock birth predictions. So, you know, you do have a point.
Wait,
there.
Is the prisons going to be the parents? Is that what you're
they
saying?
They believe that these kids growing up without a dad around because it's an unplanned pregnancy, they are likely to end up being funneled, at least a percentage of them, into the
really?
Prison system.
Well, I mean,
eventually.
Unless they're born, how can you tell that to be accurate?
Yeah, well, probably after they're
wow.
born. Yeah. This is what I've heard.
What, because a lot of them are in the black community? That is such a stereotype.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, I've heard that argument. I don't know if I buy into that. That's kind of a racial. No, I'm not saying to you. I'm saying those that make that argument is kind of a little bit of a racial. Yeah, who's going to take care of them? That's kind of a good question. That's what I'm kind of leaning towards. So some may not be talking about the conservative aisle. 55 minutes after 7 a.m. Talk radio, WBOB.
West Beltway, I-295 North before Normandy. An earlier accident with at least three cars is now starting to clear up. Still a little heavy there, though. If you're 295 South at Heckscher, look out for a broken down car. And 95 South at the Martin Luther King 20th Street exit. Another truck there has conked out on the side of the highway.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Disney and Comcast strike a deal for Hulu, and hotel antitrust claims working their way through courts. Those stories next.
If you are a timeshare owner, please listen to this message. I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are an unhappy timeshare owner, you probably want to get out of it as smoothly and rapidly as possible. Put this on your spring clean to-do list. Give us a call and let us do for you what we have done for over 8,000 others across the country. Our process is legal, ethical, and best of all, it's done quickly. Lone Star Transfer is a family-owned business, and we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and a 99% success rate. We will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let another day go by living under the burden and expense of your unwanted timeshare. Start your spring cleaning today by giving us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Disney taking full control of Hulu, extending the reach of its streaming ability. NBC Universal owns a third of Hulu right now. According to the agreement, Disney can demand NBC Universal sell the remaining stake to Disney for its fair market value in the future. Disney guaranteeing a sale price that represents a minimum total equity value of $27.5 billion. Expedia and major hotel companies facing two federal lawsuits alleging they conspired to stifle competition being investigated by Utah's Attorney General. The AG probing whether Marriott, Hilton, and other hotel companies violated antitrust laws. Economic reports due out today giving us the latest on retail sales, industrial production, and business inventories. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight at 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Jacksonville Power Sports is your home for Kawasaki, Sea-Doo, Can-Am, and Polaris. And right now is the time to buy. Take advantage of super low financing and rock bottom pricing on all motorcycles, personal watercraft, ATVs, and side-by-sides. For over 40 years, Jacksonville Power Sports has proudly served our community. Jacksonville Power Sports is located on Atlantic Boulevard, 1/2 mile west of 295. Check them out online at JacksonvillePowerSports.com. That's JacksonvillePowerSports.com.
Imagine your dad high atop a burly, gravely riding lawnmower, deftly navigating through a fun course at the Father Mo's Best 500, Saturday, June 15th at Tools for a Time. Your dad in control of the ultimate mowing machine. He could also win that fabulous machine. Get him signed up to drive in the Father Mo's Best 500 at WBOB.com.
All right, don't forget, give me in just a few moments. We're going to take more of your calls at 831-0600. Big events going on this week, and I'd like to see you at some of these. I've got tickets to give away for the big First Coast Friends of the NRA fundraiser I've purchased. We're representing the station. How many of you all want to go? A lot of you have been emailing me. Email me, ed at wbob.com.